Hello, and welcome to Mr. Mar's History Podcast. Google Mr. Mar History to get more help with Nationals Higher and Advanced Higher History.
In today's podcast, we're going to be discussing reasons that the Cold War finally came to an end. The Cold War had divided the world for half a century, with the USA and Soviet Union leading each side based on their different ideologies. The USA believed in capitalism, which placed great emphasis on individual freedoms. However, the Soviet Union supported communism, which aimed to achieve equality but limited people's choices in doing so. Throughout the Cold War, the world lived in a constant state of fear. This was due to the powerful nuclear weapons that each side possessed, which were capable of killing millions of people. There was numerous prominent episodes during the Cold War. This includes wars in Korea, Vietnam, and Afghanistan. In addition, the building of the Berlin Wall and Cuban Missile Crisis were also prominent. During the 1970s, both sides began to develop better relations, a time known as détente. During détente, both sides reached deals on limiting their weapons and also to improve trade links and other connections between the two. Détente, however, came to an end in 1979, after the Soviets invaded Afghanistan. The 1980s, however, saw an increase in tensions. It even resulted in America and the Soviet Union refusing to attend each other's Olympic Games in 1980 and 1984. During the 1980s, there were significant political changes in the political leadership of the Soviet Union and the USA. Ronald Reagan became the American president, and Mikhail Gorbachev eventually took over as leader of the USSR. By the late 1980s, the Soviets' political system was under threat. There were demands for change from across Eastern Europe, and the USSR also faced extreme financial pressures. The Soviet Union, which had been set up in 1922, finally came to an end in 1991. On Christmas Day of that year, the Union was dissolved, and its members went back to being independent countries. With the collapse of the Soviet Union, the Cold War was officially at an end. However, to this day, America and Russia, which was the largest part of the Soviet Union, continue to have difficult relations at times. There was a variety of different factors that led to the end of the Cold War. This includes the defeat of the Soviet Union in Afghanistan, the failure of communism in Eastern Europe, East and West economic differences, the role of Mikhail Gorbachev, and finally the role of Ronald Reagan. We will begin by discussing the defeat of the USSR in Afghanistan and how this affected the end of the Cold War. In 1978, a communist revolution took place in Afghanistan. This new government introduced a range of changes and reforms, including land redistribution. Some people, particularly conservative Muslims, were opposed to this new Afghan government. They were angry at some of the changes that had been introduced, especially more rights for women and changes to marriage customs too. As a result of these disagreements, Afghanistan fell into a civil war. At Pakistan's request, America gave support to the Islamic groups. The Soviet Union worried that this would see the end of a communist government in Afghanistan. The Soviet government followed the Brezhnev Doctrine. This was a policy from 1968 which said the Soviet Union would support any communist government which was under threat, including using military action if needed. As such, on the 24th of December 1979, the Soviet Union invaded Afghanistan. Around 100,000 troops were involved at the early stages. Officially, the USSR said that they did so after receiving a request for help from the Afghan government. The USA condemned the invasion. It ended 1970s détente that had taken place between the two sides, when they seemed to have better relations. It even led to America refusing to take part in the 1980 Moscow Olympic Games, and the Soviets then reciprocated for the 1984 Los Angeles Games. The end of détente had a role in undermining the USSR and so helping end the Cold War. One reason for détente had been Russia and the Soviet Union's economic need to trade with America. Losing these business opportunities hurt the already struggling Soviet economy. However, most Soviet trade was in fact internal, conducted either with other parts of the Soviet Union or the Eastern Bloc, or it took place with communist countries like China. and this limited the impact of any decline in trade with America. In the 1970s and 1980s, only about 1% of Soviet trade was with the USA. The Soviets hoped that the invasion of Afghanistan would end the civil war and allow them to leave. Instead, they were forced to stay for a number of years to give support to the Afghan government. The result would be problems similar to those faced by America in the Vietnam War. The Soviets fought against a rebel group called the Mujahideen. These were Islamic groups that fought a guerrilla war against the Soviets. This includes hit-and-run attacks in the mountainous areas of the country. The Soviets used various tactics to try and win the war. This included helicopter attacks and the use of ground troops to attack and destroy villages. They hoped to leave the rebels with nowhere to live or hide. The Afghan secret police, the KHAD, were also used to try and win the war. This group would spy on the Mujahideen and also try to spread false rumours to divide the groups. They would even bribe tribal leaders. However, the Mujahideen fought back, often with weaponry which was secretly provided by the United States and other countries. This included the Stinger missile, which was used to shoot down Soviet helicopters, and also guns and military training too. The Mujahideen became very powerful. It was estimated that just a few years into fighting, there was at least 4,000 Mujahideen bases across Afghanistan. They engaged in activities including bombings and damaging infrastructure such as phone lines and airports. The Soviets found it impossible to beat the Mujahideen, who kept getting new recruits. Thousands of Soviet soldiers died in the Afghan War. In addition, hundreds of Soviet aircraft were destroyed, including around 333 helicopters. The USSR's failure to win in Afghanistan hurt the national pride, and it ended any belief that they were an all-powerful force. If they couldn't beat Afghanistan, they believed it might be impossible to defeat America in a war, and this ultimately helped to bring about the end of the Cold War. However, it's worth noting that the Soviets remained a military superpower. In particular, having the world's second largest nuclear arsenal meant that there was not any serious danger of entering into a direct war with America. There was numerous attempts to end the Afghanistan War. Various countries, including Pakistan, the Soviet Union and America, were involved in these talks. In Pakistan's case and others, it was because countries in the region did not want chaos and more war if the Soviets quickly withdrew. The new leader of the Soviet Union, Mikhail Gorbachev, wanted out of the Afghan War. From May 1988, Soviet troops started to withdraw, and this process was completed by February 1989. The costs of the war increased poverty in the USSR and Eastern Europe, and this led to public protests and complaints. The growth of campaigns on this issue inspired other actions and protests which would help undermine the USSR, again helping achieve the Cold War's conclusion. However, public protest was still largely controlled and limited in the USSR and Eastern Bloc, and this meant that mass organised campaigns, such as like the anti-Vietnam War protests in America, never developed to the same extent, and this limits its impact. Another factor which brought about the end of the Cold War was the failure of communism in Eastern Europe. During the Cold War, the Soviet Union controlled what was known as the Eastern Bloc. These were Eastern European countries of Bulgaria, Czechoslovakia, East Germany, Hungary, Poland, and Romania. The Soviets took all steps to command the Eastern Bloc. This included sending in the military to attack any country that tried to move away from Soviet control, which happened in Hungary in 1956 and Czechoslovakia in 1968. During the 1980s, there were growing anti-Soviet protests across the Eastern Bloc. This eventually led to the collapse of communism in Eastern Europe, as communist parties were swept from power. There was many reasons that people were unhappy with communism. Some were angry at the extreme poverty they lived in their lives. Some people were religious and wanted greater freedom when it came to issues like that. It's even claimed that television played a role, because people were able to see the different lives and richer lives that were led elsewhere in the world. In Poland, there were two main elements to the anti-communist protests. Polish people were angry due to food shortages and high prices. A trade union called Solidarity attracted many supporters and became a symbol of more than simply workplace complaints. It was led by a man called Lech Walesa, and it had 10 million members eventually. In addition, Poland was very religious, a deeply Catholic country. The Pope, John Paul II, was in fact Polish, and he inspired protests for religious freedom. Solidarity was eventually banned, however, protests and strikes continued to take place across Poland. Negotiations took place that eventually led to free elections in June 1989, and Solidarity, which was now again legal, took power in Poland, ending communist rule. The end of communism in Poland was not stopped by the USSR, as had happened previously in other countries. And therefore, all across Eastern Europe, other people demanded their freedom too. As this happened, it undermined the strength of the USSR, leading to it and the Cold War's conclusion. However, the changes in Poland could not have happened without Mikhail Gorbachev's leadership. A different Soviet leader might have chosen to send in the military, and this could have discouraged further change around Eastern Europe. East Germany was the next country to see big changes. The division of Germany at the end of World War II was a key starting point for the Cold War. In addition, the Berlin Wall that divided the communist east of Berlin from the capitalist west was one of the most famous symbols of the Cold War. In August 1989, the border between Austria and Hungary was opened. This allowed large numbers of people to leave the east perfectly legally. And as such, there was increasing public protests in East Germany calling for more changes and freedom of movement. In November 1989, the Berlin Wall was opened, essentially ending communist control. There were then free elections in East Germany in March 1990, and by October 1990, Germany had reunified to create one single country. Further changes took place all around Eastern Europe. The communist leader of Czechoslovakia, Milos Jakes, stood down in November 1989, and then in March 1990, Hungary held free elections, which also ended communist rule. Soon communist rule collapsed across all of the Eastern Bloc. The most violent revolution was in Romania, where the country's hated leader, Nicolae Ceausescu, and his wife Elena were both executed on Christmas Day 1989. The collapse of the Eastern Bloc made it difficult for the Soviet Union to continue. The USSR would then have fewer soldiers and also natural resources as they no longer controlled these places. And the USSR's inability to continue ultimately helps end the Cold War. However, the Soviet Union was still the world's largest country, and it was also very rich, therefore, in economic resources. In addition, if the Soviet Union no longer had to control the Eastern Bloc, this would lead to many financial savings and the military costs of doing so, and so need not have necessarily ended the Soviet Union. Another factor which leads to the end of the Cold War is the economic differences between East and West. During the 1970s, both America and Soviet economies faced struggles. This included huge oil price rises from 1973. However, in the 1980s, the American economy greatly improved, whilst the Soviets continued to face problems. In simple terms, Soviet people were much poorer than Americans. By 1989, gross domestic product per capita, which is essentially the value of a country's economy for each person in the country, for the two sides was as follows. America was around $21,000, whereas the Soviet Union was just over $9,000. People in the USSR and Eastern Bloc had very poor living conditions. By the 1980s, there were often huge queues in shops for basic items such as bread. There were also long waiting lists for even things such as cars. People who wanted a Trabant had to wait up to 13 years for it. Poverty across the Eastern Bloc caused public unrest. In addition, television showed images of better living standards in America. This led to public protests that helped end Soviet control in Eastern Europe and would undermine the USSR. However, the East had always had poorer living standards than the West. What changed in the 1980s was Soviet leadership. Past revolts had been crushed by the Soviet military. However, Mikhail Gorbachev did not do this and therefore allowed the changes. Ronald Reagan, the American president, believed in small government. One of his early steps was huge tax cuts, around 25% over 3 years. However, from 1980 to 1982, the USA was still in a recession, with more than 10% unemployment nationally and up to 25% in certain industries, such as the car industry. Nevertheless, by 1984, the American economy had substantially improved, and for the next few years the economy grew at a huge rate, unseen since World War II. Much of this growth, it's worth noting, was achieved by borrowing money. US debt massively increased at this time, trebling in value. By the mid-1980s, more money was being spent in America. Unemployment fell across the country, and businesses also posted bigger profits. The car industry, for instance, had seen losses of around $187 million in the third quarter of 1982. However, in this same period of 1983, they made profits of around $1.2 billion. More money in America allowed higher military spending, such as the Star Wars project, and the Soviet Union could not compete with this. In addition, the Soviets could also not spend enough to win the Afghan War. And all of this damaged their national pride, helping ultimately bring about the demise of the USSR. However, it's important to remember that the Soviets still had a huge military budget. Up to 50% of all Soviet spending went to the military. The Soviets therefore had spent enough to win in Afghanistan. What mattered, however, was outside support for the Mujahideen, including America providing weaponry and other help. Another factor which helped bring about the end of the Cold War was the role of Mikhail Gorbachev. There were numerous changes in the Soviet Union's political leadership in the 1980s. Leonid Brezhnev died in 1982. His replacement, Yuri Andropov, then died in 1984. And then a new leader, Konstantin Chernenko, died in 1985. Traditionally, Soviet leaders were very old. Therefore, the next choice was really different. Mikhail Gorbachev was 54 when he became Soviet leader in 1985. He was the youngest ever leader of the Soviet Union. He introduced a series of changes which aimed to transform the Soviet Union. One of these reforms was called Perestroika. This allowed more private ownership of business, and it led to changes such as shops and restaurants opening. The biggest symbol, it can be argued, of this economic change took place in January 1990. The first McDonald's restaurant, a major symbol of American capitalism, opened in Moscow, and there were huge queues for people who wanted to visit. Reducing central government control over the economy was a major change, and it moved away from the typical communist model. Given that the Cold War existed because of the divide between communism and capitalism, Perestroika changed the very nature of the Cold War and helped end the conflict. However, it did not introduce a full capitalist system into the Soviet Union. The government still retained control of most of the Soviet economy, meaning that communism still dominated. The Soviet Union was a secret state. Information was strictly limited, and newspapers, most prominently Pravda, were controlled by the government. As a result, many Soviet people had a limited idea of life in their own country and elsewhere. The most shocking example of this took place in April 1986. The Chernobyl nuclear power plant exploded. It caused radiation to spread, which led ultimately to people in the local area, a town called Pripyat, to get sick and die. However, it took a day and a half before the Soviet Union actually announced what had happened or evacuated people from the area. Gorbachev believed that there needed to be fewer secrets in the Soviet Union. Therefore, in 1986, he introduced a policy called Glasnost. This word literally means openness, and it led to wider availability of information. There were various changes. Books which had previously been banned were again made available. Newspapers were allowed to be more critical of the government. And the public were allowed a degree more free speech, although this was not absolute. More American films were also allowed to be shown. Another major change which was overseen by Mikhail Gorbachev was the Soviet withdrawal from the Afghan War. USSR troops first went into Afghanistan in 1979, however, they began to withdraw in 1988 and were fully gone by 1989. The Soviet Union had been characterised by strong government control of both the economy and people. Gorbachev's reforms hugely changed this, and it altered the very nature of the Soviet Union and inevitably therefore ended the conflict, because much of the tensions which had existed were no longer evident. However, Gorbachev did make these decisions, but it can be argued they were forced upon him. There was growing public complaints and protests, there were economic problems, and Afghan military weakness meant that changes may have had to be introduced by any leader, not specifically Gorbachev. Another factor which helped bring about the end of the Cold War was the role of the American President Ronald Reagan. Reagan was in fact famous before he was the president. He had been a television and film actor, and then became governor of California. He later ran twice to be president and was elected in 1980. In 1981, he became the 40th US president. He was famously anti-communist, and this was a major feature of his political campaigns. This included being an opponent of détente, which was the period in the 1970s when America and the USSR built better relations. One notable action that Reagan took as president was to hugely increase American military spending. This included the development of new nuclear technology, including the new Pershing missile system. Reagan's increase of the American military spending was something the Soviet Union could not afford to match. As the Soviets fell further behind America, this significantly weakened them and helped end the war. This was because the loss of national pride and recognition they couldn't beat America in a war ultimately brought about the end of the Soviet Union. However, détente had ended in 1979, which was before Reagan came into office. In addition, the US economy faced problems in his early years. It's therefore possible that any American president would have increased military spending, and this therefore limits the impact of Reagan's influence. Ronald Reagan's most famous military action was almost certainly the Strategic Defense Initiative, which was nicknamed Star Wars. This was an anti-nuclear missile system that aimed to use lasers in space and ground missiles to destroy nuclear missiles and make it impossible to use them. The prospect of Star Wars working terrified the Soviet Union. If it succeeded, it would mean that their nuclear weapons were useless, and this would give America a huge advantage to the Cold War, and it therefore forced the Soviet Union to try and seek better relations. However, although the Soviets did worry about the impact of Star Wars, the fact was that most scientists publicly said it was an impossible task. Reagan had also claimed that he would share the technology with the Soviet Union, and thus this is not arguably a reason for the Soviets to worry and seek peace. Ronald Reagan regularly spoke about the end of the Soviet Union. In a notable 1983 speech, he called the Soviets the evil empire, and also once said that communism would end up on the ash heap of history. However, Reagan also had worries. The 1983 Able Archer NATO training exercise was almost disastrous. Whilst it was a training exercise, it was wrongly seen by the Soviets as being the start of an actual attack, and they prepared their nuclear weapons for war. Reagan therefore worried that even if America had huge advantages, a nuclear war could still happen, and so he wanted to seek a peace agreement. When Gorbachev became leader, Reagan believed this was an opportunity. The British Prime Minister, Margaret Thatcher, who was a very close ally of Reagan, once said that Gorbachev was a man one could do business with. Between 1985 and 1988, Reagan and Gorbachev met four times. Most notably at the 1986 Reykjavik summit, they agreed to try to abolish all nuclear weapons, although never reached an actual deal on this. In 1987, however, they did sign the Intermediate Range Nuclear Forces Treaty, and this ended an entire class of nuclear weapon. By meeting with Gorbachev, Reagan built better relations with him. Agreements they reached on weapons reductions would make the world safer, and it lessened the need for the Cold War, helping end the conflict. However, the reality is there were still tensions between both sides. This included over issues such as the division of Berlin. Famously, during a 1987 visit to Berlin, Ronald Reagan demanded that Mr. Gorbachev tear down this wall. Reagan also took other actions to try and prevent the spread of communism around the world. Both publicly and secretly, he sent American troops into countries such as Grenada and Nicaragua. Some of these actions, in fact, broke US law. Reagan also met with members of the Mujahideen that were fighting against the Soviet Union in Afghanistan. America had provided a significant amount of funding and weaponry to beat the Soviets. Ronald Reagan's willingness to use his military made it difficult for communism to expand. The Soviet Union had hoped to see the rise of world communism, and by stopping this, it weakened the Soviet Union, and this ultimately helps achieve the end of the Cold War. However, world communism was still a significant force. The world's most populated country, China, was communist, as was the world's largest country, the Soviet Union. In addition, other parts of the world had communist governments too.